to 5, verse 17. Last week we saw that all the blesseds here were not about our attitudes, what we are to be, but who we are as helpless individuals. We are poor in spirit. We may be economically poor, but we all need to recognize how needy we are, how much everything. We mourn over this world, and God wants to bless us with his comfort, and so on and so on. And that's what we looked at, that those who are helpless are offered Christ's blessing. And then because of that, we can be salt and light. But now this morning, do we have another picture? That one. I want to explain that only a few years ago, I always thought of a yoke, and even Jesus' gentle yoke, as kind of a double yoke, where Jesus is one partner and we're the next partner next to him. But a few years ago, I came to realize that the yoke that we're talking about is a single yoke that made it easier for people to carry burdens. But it all depended on what was in the bucket, whether that burden was light or heavy. And in the Jewish culture, even in the Old Testament, that you read Jeremiah, a yoke was a teaching you followed. And so we're going to find out that the Pharisees had a yoke that they offered people. It was called the yoke of the law. Jesus, too, has a yoke we're going to look at. And we can wait with that slide because I need to explain a few things. Let's go back to that other slide just a moment. Thanks. And so, Jesus bears a heavy yoke so he can offer us a gentle yoke. So I'd like to read now so we can go to the blank slide at this point. So let's look at verse 17. Do not think that I have come, says Jesus, to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet, nor the least stroke of the pen, will be by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teachings and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, flip a few verses or chapters further to chapter 11 and go down to verse 28. Because we really need to read Matthew 5 and Matthew 11, verse 28 and through 30 together. And here's where that yoke comes in. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, take my teaching upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So that's our reading from God's Word. So, there were some terms. It almost sounds like Jesus is throwing us a curveball. Last week, he came to those who mourn, those who are trying their best but still don't find their hearts pure enough. Those who are sat upon and spat upon and ratted on for the name of Jesus. And we found that God blesses them. But now Jesus is talking about a yoke a teaching about a way of life that is even more difficult than the yoke of the Pharisees. And so this morning, let's start out with the yoke of the Pharisees, and then we can go to that slide. You notice someone carrying that single yoke by themselves, and they're facing a ladder. Let me explain that. The Pharisees were the moral superstars of their day. Everyone really looked up to Pharisees. They were respected because they tried hard to live good lives. In fact, as they went through the five books of Moses, they identified 248 thou shalts and 363 thou shalt nots. And they had them memorized, and they were trying to fulfill them. But beyond that, they were adding other laws under all these 613 laws just to make sure that they wouldn't break the top 613. So imagine carrying that kind of load, trying to keep as many of these sub-rules while maintaining the main rule. But it led to all kinds of weird rules. You couldn't go to a doctor on Sunday. Let's say you had a sore tooth or a sore in your mouth. What you could do is put medicine in your soup and eat it that way. And that would not be breaking the Sabbath law. There was another rule. Sabbath laws were very, very important. That was there Sunday on Saturday. And one rule said that you could only walk to church and back. Now everyone lived within distance of the synagogue because that became the place where you worshiped. And so you could walk to the synagogue and walk back home. That was a Sabbath day journey. But if you took your prayer rug along and rolled it up and carried it with you, you could walk from church to the distance where your house was. You could lay your rug down, stand on it, pray on it, and it became an extension of your house. So then you could walk another distance as it would be to church and pray again and then get to your friend's house to watch whatever they watched on Sundays. But anyway, you know, you got that idea. There, you couldn't mix wool and cotton. You could only eat certain foods, kosher foods. And there were thousands of other rules. And so you can imagine this was an extremely heavy, heavy burden. The Pharisees' yoke was so incredibly difficult that most people didn't even try. And even they said, well, you don't have to keep them all as long as you keep the majority of the 613 and a majority of the sub-rules. You'll make it. Just keep a positive moral balance and you'll probably make it to heaven. But people couldn't make a moral balance. And that's why it must have been such a shock for them to hear Jesus say in chapter 5 that our righteousness had to be even more so than the Pharisees. Well, who then can stand? Well, Jesus admitted about the Pharisees' rule. Two different translations from Matthew 23:4. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Whereas the New Living Translation puts it, they crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. The Pharisees' yoke was indeed very, very hard. And yet, what you have to realize is that it was only external. It was only keeping a list of rules. If at least on the outside you were fine, they thought they were fine with God. So let's go on and look at what Jesus now says in Matthew 5 here. This is really the key to the Sermon on the Mount, and it's a key to understanding what we are up against, but what Jesus was willing to do for us. The key verse is verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Jesus has come to give not only his outside life to God, but his whole inner life to God. He has come to earth so that with his heart, soul, mind, and strength, he can give his all to God and give his all to the neighbor. Love them perfectly, completely, comprehensively, in every single detail. So that is what he has come to do. And so he has taken on a heavier yoke than even the Pharisees. Now the question comes, why? Why must Jesus do this? Why must this heavy yoke be his yoke, this heavy yoke of the law? Well, as we see, let's go to the next slide. Why must Jesus fulfill the law? Next slide. The law is the blueprint for life. Until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. We'll look at that slide for just a little while. So why, first of all? Because the law is God's blueprint for life. A volleyball, when you drop it, goes down. A basketball goes down. You jump off a ladder, you go down. We are bound by the laws of gravity. But really, we were meant to live by God's laws, by his will for life. You know, we began today with what may have sounded strange in our culture, but celebrating law, celebrating God's law. But we celebrate it because it reveals to us the very character of God. The Ten Commandments are kind of the summary of what God asks of us from the inside out. But God asks us to do these things because that's what he does by his very nature. He is good. He is kind. He is just. And so this law of God is very precious because it doesn't keep us in the dark anymore. We now know what God is like, what he wants us to be like. Unfortunately, we no longer can meet his standard. We no longer live up to that standard, that character of God. And that is why Jesus has come. He's come to fulfill that standard. And again, in contrast to the Pharisees, from the inside out, and not with all the additional thousands of rules, and not even those 613 rules. But he makes very clear as we go on in the Sermon on the Mount, you've been told, just do this on the surface. I tell you, this is what your heart needs to do. Jesus is quite frank then in assuring us that the law of God is going to remain in effect until the end of time. And he has come to fulfill every aspect of it, to the very smallest. And it says here, the smallest letter and stroke. If we go to the next slide, That is the smallest letter on this side over here. That's the letter for Y, Yod. And so that was the smallest thing. And then the other small letter was called it's Wav, W-A-W. But it just went with one stroke. And so it may have been the whole letter, or it may have just been the hook at the top. But Jesus is saying, I have come to keep God's law for you to the very smallest letter of the alphabet and the smallest stroke that you'll find in the scrolls of your Bibles. And these are Hebrew letters. So Jesus has come to keep that law, and as he keeps it, to show us what it is to live like God lives in heaven and the angels live. But there's a second reason why. This law is the basis for how we will be ranked. And that's the next slide. You see that next. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. And then we go on to the next slide. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. There's a lot of award shows that go on. I don't watch them. I maybe read a report on them on MSN or something. But there's a lot of awards that go on, and people go on and on about who's going to be nominated for this position and that position. Well, there will be a great award ceremony someday. And the criteria will not be what we think it is. In fact, when we all get to heaven and the day of awards are passed out, says Jesus, you won't have a speech ready to give because you won't expect anything. Because what Jesus looks at is the day-to-day-to-day things we do out of love for the Father, out of love for our Savior. So it's those little details. We'll be in heaven, and rather than having speech ready, we'll stammer. Well, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you in need of clothing? When did we feed you? And Jesus will say, if you did it to the least of these in my name, you did it to me. About Matthew 25, when it talks about Jesus recognizing us, we won't even realize what we did out of love for him. It'll be so automatic. And if there are certain things we thought, hey, this is great, probably won't even be mentioned because we were doing it more for us than Jesus. So again, it's Jesus who has made that possible. As we see in the parables, what we've done is not perfect. But Jesus said in those parables of the talents, you know, the person who used 5 talents will have control over 5 cities. Jesus will have a way of expanding all that we did for him and recognizing it in ways that are super gracious and super, you know, unexpected. And we will be as surprised as the parable of those who didn't realize that it was in the details that Jesus did it. You know, how our children saw us deal with a frustrating salesman. How our help watched as we dealt with a crisis on the floor or in the bins. How we responded to a stranger who came up to us and needed help. Those who both live and teach by their example will be recognized at the end of time graciously, far beyond what we've ever done, because that's just how our Lord's sacrifice affects even what we do for him. And finally, why did Jesus have to keep that law from inside and outside. It will determine your eternal destiny. Jesus realized, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." We saw that these moral superstars that everyone looked up to were great on the outside. They were better than the average person. But Jesus looked on the inside and he says, inside you look like a septic tank. Inside you look like a grave. Inside you're smelly. Inside you are totally unmotivated by love for my Father. And so Jesus had to come and live perfectly so that he could earn your and my salvation. And so this isn't a call for us, first of all, to be even more innerly righteous than the Pharisees, because we can't do it. But Jesus did it for us. And yet we need to realize how demanding God's holiness is, how wonderfully perfect he is, and how he wanted us so much that he sent his Son to take our place because we knew we couldn't do it. Jesus knew that it's out of the heart that come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. And we'll see that as we go on in the sermon. But it's also how goodness and justice and mercy comes out. At the end of the day, at the end of time, Jesus will welcome all of us into his kingdom who have loved him as our Savior and who have tried to serve him. That's what he'll be looking for. And that's why we turn to one final yoke. The yoke that Jesus gives to us. And that yoke is indeed the easy yoke. And so he says in Matthew 11:29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Jesus has taken the heavy yoke. He's done the heavy lifting. Now he asks us to learn from him. And so as we look at these verses, we realize there's such a difference between what Jesus offers and the Pharisees offered. With Jesus, it was done. It's all been done for you. But in our human life, I think we even find that so often, we think it's all about do. We will please God if we do this and this and this. And really, that's the most popular one. That famous hymn writer, Chesney, has put it this way. Everybody wants to go to heaven, have a mansion high above the clouds. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go now. Said preacher, maybe you didn't see me throw an extra 20 in the plate. There's one for everything I did last night and one to get me through today. Here's a 10 to help you remember next time you got the good Lord's ear. Say I'm coming, but there ain't no hurry. Have fun down here. Don't you know that? Kenny Chesney's version of do and you'll get in. Well, when it gets close. But Jesus has said done. And so he offers us a yoke, which first of all means understanding. Again, he tells us, take my yoke, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Your teachers, Jesus said, tie up heavy loads and put them on your shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Jesus is gentle. He understands our weaknesses. He understands when we blow it. He understands that we want to do it better, but blow it again. He comes to us and says, come to me when you blow it, and I will forgive you. And he's gentle, humble. He puts our interests before his own. That's why he died for us. But he still puts his interests before our own and is leading and guiding our lives in such a way that sometimes we think it's way wrong. And yet he sees the big picture. And we have to realize that he really does care for us even more than we care for ourselves. So we can say no sin's too great. No mistake so awful. No weakness so glaring that you can't bring it to Jesus. For his forgiveness, for his help and his guidance. Because what he offers most of all is relief. Take my yoke upon you and you will find rest for your souls. Now, this word is not the typical word for rest like we use at Christmas time for peace, but it's a word for relief. Relief from the burden to do, and do some more. And it's a burden he lifts through his own sacrifice. The Pharisees were working on their own energy, trying to please God. But Jesus says, I have taken the load from you. So you can rest easy. You can simply love me and love my Father and live like we do to the best of your ability. So that whole burden of saving ourselves is taken away. And it's because while the Pharisees were serving an impersonal law, we are serving a personal Savior. So the blueprint for life is more about a relationship than rules, more about loving our Savior than simply living for him. And the other thing our Lord offers in the way of relief comes to us from the Gospel of John. He will offer us relief through his Spirit. The NIV version says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him or her, from the heart. And then the New Jerusalem Bible puts it another way on our next slide. Well, it's here on my paper. Let anyone who believes in me come and drink. As scripture says, from the heart shall flow streams of living water. If we're talking about fruit trees, what the Pharisees tried to do is hang peach trees on apple trees and say, we are an apple tree. What Jesus has done is said, I have made you apple trees by my Spirit. And so now you can produce apple trees. That means in this coming week, you and I can bear fruit like our Savior does. We can go into this world and express his love, his joy, his peace, his patience, his gentleness, his self-control, because you are his fruit trees. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we have set aside Jeff and Craig this morning and called them to be examples for us. And yet what the Sermon on the Mount is telling us already is that all of us are called to live such lives that bear such fruit that all of us will live as if we were called to be elders and deacons. And so help us all in that calling, and bless this congregation, and send us the right pastor to help us bear such fruit. For Jesus' sake, amen. I think we're going to take the offering at this time. So give to the Lord.